Now, I just wanted to take just a few moments of our time and just acknowledge the elephant in the room, what's going on in our world, in our country, in our area, not so much necessarily in our area, but some things that are causing a lot of panic, a lot of disruption. And I know that the enemy would want to use situations and circumstances like this and let it derail the progress of what God is wanting to accomplish, but we know that we've got a different calling. And so there's a few things, a few angles I want to approach this from. One, in listening to what our governor said on Friday about specifically the state of North Dakota and where we're at right now, that he said in the midst of a state of emergency, we're currently right now as North Dakota in a state of calm. And so cases of the coronavirus, the one case in North Dakota, still as of this morning, one case, an isolated incident in a case where somebody left, came back with it, and went into isolation. But really saying there's no cause to say we need to disrupt any corporate gatherings such as this one or anything of that nature, but to take time and pray. And our president called us to a national day of prayer today, and so I wanted to leave some room for that this morning. And just pray about the things that are going on in our country and the places that, though we may not be that affected here where we're at, there are some places that are very affected. And there are some people that, though we may be able to approach this with absolute confidence, there are people that are really wondering what to do and where to go. And people who I think, do have a good head on their shoulders that are worried and wondering how good can come from situations like what's going on right now. And so what I want to do is I just want to take some time and do that, to answer that call to prayer and take some time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start that, and then I'm going to leave a moment where if there's anything that's a little bit extra on your heart this morning, leave some room for us to collectively, maybe even silently, bring those up to God and just have that time of praying while we're here. And so I'm going to start it, and then we'll leave a little moment to be able to silently bring those together to our Father who hears. And so you join me. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for an opportunity that we have to place our trust continually on you. And Lord, we know that you are the only one who is worthy of the trust that you called us to have for you. And so, God, we thank you. We collectively, we come before you right now, God, just in a spirit of thankfulness. I thank you for people willing to gather at a time of uncertainty, unsureness, however we may be individually or collectively viewing what's going on in our world right now. But Lord, we know that your spirit gives us a spirit of calm. And so God, we ask that you would calm anybody who may be just feeling uncertain, nervous, anything like that. And Lord, we lift up just what's going on around our country and around our world. Lord, we join in with our president, taking that seriously, a call to just lift each other up, and a call to take the burden that we collectively have before you. And so, Lord, we pray for those that you've blessed with the ability to figure out and explore what to do about this, what is being referred to as a pandemic. And Lord, I pray that you'd give wisdom where it's needed, that you'd give us collectively as your church discernment, Lord, to not freak out and panic, but Lord, to just simply answer the call to do what you're calling us to do in the midst of this, to love our neighbors, to continue to show and extend grace to people around us, whether they deserve it or not. God, we know that there's no time where we don't have a call to view each other the way you view us and the way that you view us to live in love. So God, we pray that we would never stop doing that. God, that we would consistently always be looking to live our lives the way you called us to live it. God, not living in fear, as your word tells us that you have not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So God, I pray that since you've given that to us, that that's what we would access. Lord, there's nothing that can hold us back from your power and what you're calling us to do. And so God, we thank you so much for that. We love you. And Lord, every single one of us has somebody in probably an unrelated way that's on our heart, some situation, some set of circumstances that are on our minds. And so God, right now, we take a moment to silently lift those. God, I thank you for the way you're leading. And I pray that you go before us as we go into a time in your word this morning. Lord, as we view our coming days, God, I just pray that we would approach it the way we always approach life, just by you and what you'd have, that you would direct our steps. We thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Well, again, it is great to have you all together here to worship our God together and to look at God's word and share together in God's word. If you're just now joining us, we are in week 3 of a 4-part series called Freedom, where we're looking at how God is calling us to overcome the temptations in our lives that every single one of us experiences and find the freedom from those temptations as God intended it to be found. And there are many of us right now, there may be some kind of a reoccurring temptation that just seems to always show up, that no matter what you do, we just can't seem to stop facing it. Sometimes we say things like, I just had to do this thing. I just can't stop doing this thing. I've already been praying about this thing. I've tried everything. I just can't seem to quit doing whatever it is that I keep finding myself doing. I want to remind us of our key verse taken from 1 Corinthians 10. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. For no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So he's saying it, to be human is to be tempted. To be tempted is to be human. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And there we have one of the most misquoted verses of all of Scripture. We often say God will never give you more than you can handle, and we use this verse as where we get that from. The reality is, that's not the case. God will often give us more than we can handle to prove that we need him. That we have more than we can handle, but nothing that's too much for us to handle is too much for God to handle. But the verse actually says that he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, because every time that we are tempted, we do not have to give in to that temptation. Every single time we're tempted, there is a way out from that temptation, is what his word tells us. And so I pray that us as a church would be encouraged by this truth today, that no matter what it is that you may be facing in this life, there is always a way out of it. You may be tempted to always complain. There's a way out of that. You may be tempted to compare. You're dissatisfied. You're envying what other people have. You're jealous. There is always a way out of that temptation. You may be tempted to overspend. There's a way out of that. You may be tempted to worry. You may deal with a legitimate addiction that you're tempted to. You're addicted to gambling, you're addicted to social media, you're addicted to smoking or drinking or viewing inappropriate materials of some sort. Whatever it is, our God is faithful. We can take that and find and place our trust in that truth. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, and he will always give us a way out so that we can endure what life throws our way. The challenge is so often we think, okay, I've been tempted enough. I've pushed it aside enough. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. A lot of times we think, you know, I'm so tired of this. I need to stop thinking about this. I need to stop thinking about that. I need to stop doing the wrong things. I need to not focus on the wrong things. Scripture actually teaches us that this is one plan of attack, but it's also helpful to not just try to not think about the wrong thing, but to actually do the alternative to that and actually think about the right things instead. When we're focused on simply not thinking about the wrong things, what happens? We end up thinking about the wrong things, right? For example, I'm trying to experiment with this. And so just play along. If you don't like types of things, do it anyway. So what I want you to do, close your eyes for a minute, okay? Just close your eyes and just think about this, okay? What I want you to do is focus really hard, okay? Now, don't think about a polka-dotted hippo, okay? Ready? Go. Don't think about a polka-dotted hippo. No polka-dotted hippos in your mind. Do not think about it, all right? Now, open your eyes. What do you see? It's cheesy, right? It's just really dorky exercise, but You know, it's like we oftentimes, this is our approach to getting out of our temptations. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. And then we find ourselves thinking about it. It's like, don't think about cake. Don't think about ice cream. Don't think about cake. Don't think about ice cream. And then it's like, all these struggles, don't do this, don't do it, don't do it. And now all of my temptations are eating cake and ice cream riding on top of a polka-dotted hippo. And it's just, it compounds itself, and it's like it's out of control. And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually learn what it is to just not just think about not doing the wrong thing, but to look at what it is to do the right thing. We're going to look at some very powerful scripture today. This is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? We'll talk more about this. He's basically saying, do the right thing, stay close to God, walk by the Spirit, and what's going to happen? And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, sometimes we get hung up on what that could possibly mean. It's like, what does that mean, the desires of the flesh? It's not like your flesh is going, get some sun on this bald head. Get this flesh exposed to some UV rays in some way, shape, or form, right? No, the flesh, for those that may not understand this in its entirety, the flesh is an example of our human nature. It's a picture of our human sinful nature. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you recognize that there is a continual war that's going on between what the Spirit wants you to do and what your sinful fleshly desires want you to do. And so he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, you're less likely to give in to the temptations to do the wrong thing. Verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. Some of us, we can very much relate to this. You're feeling like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, a passage we've looked at a ton of times, where he says, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things anyway. We've all been there, right? We want to do what's right, and we don't. We want to read our Bible every single day. We read our Bible for 3 days, and we stop. We want to start a new good habit, and we get started for like one day. Something goes wrong. We don't continue it. And so we want to do the right things, and then we end up doing the wrong things. I don't want to get mad at my husband, but I just threw a vase at him or whatever, right? And so it's like, how'd that happen? I don't know. I want to stop doing this thing, and it's all I find myself doing lately. And so I want to not do these. It's a struggle continually, right? Why is this such a struggle continually for us? Here's a key thought. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. We need to understand that if you feed something, it typically dies, right? If you want something to grow, feed it. If you want something to die, starve it, right? So whatever you feed, it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. You continually feed it, it continually grows stronger. Whatever you starve grows weaker and weaker and weaker and eventually dies. For example, you feed yourself a lot, what's going to happen? I'm actually asking, what's going to happen? You're going to grow, right? You feed yourself, you're going to grow. Some of us are like, well, I'm an adult. I'm fully grown. I'm not going to grow. You feed yourself a lot, we're going to continue to grow. We're just not going to grow that way. We're going to grow that way. But we get the point, right? I'll explain it this way. Pastor Matt got this really cool plant for his office a few months ago. It was like this palm tree looking plant. And I was like, oh, that's a really cool plant. And he got it. And at first he watered it. I know he watered it at least one time. Okay. And then there was a youth group, a small group from our CrossPoint youth group that met in his office. They still meet in his office. Every single Wednesday they meet there. And every week it was like, at first there were some students who were like, that's a really cool plant. And then over the course of a few weeks, they're like, that plant's not looking so hot. And each week, a little bit wiltier and a little bit wiltier. And all of a sudden, it's like a stick with nothing. And then for Christmas, the youth group leadership team actually got him like a, it's more of like a cactus plant. You only have to like water it like once in a blue moon. And then I found out after a first service, I shared that, and there's two people who have committed to actually watering that thing on a regular basis, so Matt doesn't have to. And so anyways, that's just kind of how it works, right? You feed your fleshly nature, what happens? Your desire to sin continues to grow. You starve your fleshly nature, it starts to die. You feed your spirit grows stronger. Your intimacy with God increases. You grow stronger. So the question becomes, how do we, with the help of the Spirit, overcome those wrong desires of the flesh that we deal with? We say, I don't want to do these things, but I continue to find myself doing them anyway. How do we allow the Holy Spirit to come and empower us and free us from these wrong things, and so that we can cling to the right thing? I want to give us two thoughts. That's all we're going to look at today about allowing the Spirit to help us find freedom over these temptations that we all deal with in some way, shape, or form. First thing, if you're taking notes, is this. Number one, we're going to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's stop here for a moment, because a lot of people in church are like, okay, I get that there's a Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It makes sense in its concept. I understand the whole God thing, the Jesus thing. There's a picture of him in my kid's Bible and all of that. The Holy Spirit, though, that's where we oftentimes get hung up. We're like, I don't understand how the Holy Spirit works. It's interesting. If you've been around the Wesleyan Church for any amount of time, that's a denomination we belong to. It's a denomination that really focuses on holiness and holy living. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's just not a lot of talk about him. We kind of treat him like that crazy Uncle Eddie. He shows up at the party sometimes, and we don't always know what to do with him, right? And so we just sort of let him be. And so when we talk about it conceptually, it can be a little bit confusing. The Holy Spirit actually is one of the greatest gifts that we actually will ever have. Jesus said before he went away, he said, I am going to give you something even better. I am going away and I am going to give you the Holy Spirit, which is basically saying God is going to dwell within every single one of us that's a Jesus follower. So if you are a follower of Christ, you have that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. The question is, what does that mean? What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit, Scripture teaches us, does a lot of things. One thing the Holy Spirit does is he convicts us of those sins. He points out where some of those temptations are something that maybe we shouldn't involving ourselves in. He convicts us of our sin. We do something wrong and we say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's the Holy Spirit in us convicting us of that. You're about to do something wrong, and there's this like warning, 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 right? Stop. That's the Holy Spirit convicting us and prompting us and directing us. The Holy Spirit also comforts us when we're hurting. Have you ever been in one of those places where you're just upset and you're praying, and suddenly there's just this like aha moment, right? And there's this peace that begins to come over you that surpasses your human ability to understand. Understand this, it's not just goosebumps or whatever. That's actually the Holy Spirit comforting. The Holy Spirit also counsels. He's often referred to as a counselor. He will guide us towards the truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us and say, this is the way you should be going here. This is the way you should go. The Holy Spirit prompts you, or it's a lot of times that you can, I refer to it as a nudge, kind of like that little elbow, that, hey, wake up here. Hey, pay attention over here. That little nudge to move in the direction that would please God. Oftentimes we refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. Very much not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. God in spirit form, living and dwelling within each of us who refer to ourselves as a follower of Jesus. And so when we're battling temptation, we don't do these battles on our own. We actually have a heavenly power that dwells within every single one of us with the help of God in that spirit form. We can overcome those desires of the human flesh that begin to come over us, and we can learn to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit living within us and directing our steps. Romans 8, verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it." So that desire that you may have that you know is contrary to what God wants for you in your life, you have no obligation to that thing. It says you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. We think, no, I'm drawn to this. It's like a magnet. I can't get myself away from this. He says, no, there's no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh," what will happen? He says, "You live according to the flesh, you will die." It's like, that's a little dramatic, Paul. Isn't that a little dramatic there? You mean, Paul, you really mean we're going to die if we live according to the flesh? How dramatic are you going to be? How many of you would argue or agree that sin, it can be fun for a little while, right? Some of you are like, I don't know how to answer that. Sin can be fun for a little while. But what we all realize over time is it'll be fun for a little while, but eventually it catches up to us and it'll mess us up. I forget who, but somebody said sin thrills and then sin kills, right? Sin fascinates and then sin assassinates. He continues his passages, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." There's a lot of that language I'm figuring out right now, is that death and life and killing, and it's not where we're necessarily going with this, but that's the reality of what we're actually dealing with here. There are those here today who are going to tap into that power of the Holy Spirit because we've never really understood that before. And so we're understanding now we don't live this life by our own strength, but by the strength of God's Spirit. We're going to starve out that which may have been killing us. And so I want to read you a prayer, which I think is so powerful. Those who have been through an Alcoholics Anonymous program would learn to say what's known as the Serenity Prayer. And there's part of it where it says, "We admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity." Now, whose power is that that's greater than ourselves? For a Jesus follower, we believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. When you admit that you are powerless over something and you need a power that is greater than your own that you have, the power of the Holy Spirit is what comes into our lives and helps us become whole again and be healed again. My version of this prayer would be, "I admit that I'm powerless over blank." Whatever it is, that temptation that we tend to just constantly there, constantly just grabbing at us and pulling at us. I admit that I'm powerless over blank. Fill in the blank with whatever it is for you. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit will heal me and make me whole. Some of us, I think this is it right here. This is really, really it. What goes in that blank? Like last week, we were talking about listening to the message through the lens of what may be your most recurring temptation struggle. So that would be probably what we fill that blank in with. I admit that I'm powerless over that thing. I admit that I'm powerless over materialism. I keep buying and buying and wanting more and wanting more. I admit that I'm powerless over food. I admit that I'm powerless over worry. I'm obsessed with worrying about what's going on in our world and illnesses and oil prices and the economy and viruses and whatever it is. I feel like I'm powerless over worry. Like I'm powerless over blank. We have to call it what it is. The reality this morning, you are only as strong as you are honest. And so we need to admit, I'm powerless over whatever it is. I'm powerless over the lust that I have. We've been giving a lot of examples in recent weeks during this series. So I'm not going to get into too many of them, but you may want to verbalize it because you're or you may not want to verbalize because you're afraid of how people may react. But the reality is, we need to confess these things to each other because the truth is, sin grows best in the dark. Like, we all hear those lies when we're dealing with something we know we shouldn't deal with, and it's like the enemy comes in and says, shh. Nobody will ever have to know if you just quiet. But we know that it's not just wrong. The reality of that decision to just keep quiet is that sin grows best when it's kept hidden. Sin grows best and infiltrates other parts of our lives when we keep it in the dark. We come together with other people in godly community. We confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, like Scripture tells us, so that we can find healing. We identify it, and then let's let that healing process begin. We say, I admit that I'm powerless over blank. We admit it. I believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that He will heal me and He will make me whole, that I can actually take charge over this thing because I'm living by God's Spirit, not my own flesh. Most of you know my story at this point, so I'll spare some of the details. If you're really curious, you can ask later if you really want more of the specifics. But the short story is, in my early college years, my sinful choices caught up with me, okay? And while my sin caught up with me and the reality of where my decisions were leading me, God also caught up with me at the same time. And so I've got my sin choices I'm making, and at the same time I'm seeking God. I'm saying, God, are you really, really real? And from the middle of my sin, I'm hearing from God, and He's drawing me towards Himself and drawing me out of this sinful lifestyle that I've been living. And this is where many of us may be finding ourselves even right now as we're sitting here. Jesus was drawing me towards Himself, and I was like, God, I want to give my whole life to You. I want to do this, but I don't want to give this up either. I'm believing I'm being drawn to Jesus, but I don't want to stop whatever it is, right? And that may be where some of us find ourselves. And here's what happened in my situation, is the Holy Spirit led me to do something that began that process of restoration for me. The Holy Spirit led me to walk away from that partying scene, literally moved me to a different community. And what happened is, God gave me time to renew my mind. And I moved to a place where I literally didn't know anybody who was in that partying scene. The only people that I knew were followers of Jesus. And so God transformed my mind. God started to do that healing work that only He can do, and gave me desires for the things of Him. And that took time. I'll tell you right now, that took a lot of time. But I admit that on my own, I am powerless over, and I need the Holy Spirit, because I did not have the strength to be healed from what I needed to be healed from and to be made whole. Now, I don't want to spend a ton of time here, but there might be someone here this morning. This is your moment of truth. And it may not be some huge thing like the partying scene that everybody can see because of the choices that we're making, but it might be something that's just a little bit more internal that maybe even those who are the closest to us don't know about. You either admit it, or you let that sin and the reality of it begin to just fester, grow, and just keep on covering it up. And listen, what remains covered will not heal. And we have to admit, I need the power, the help of God. And we learn to depend on the Spirit who strengthens us, to depend on the Spirit who comforts us, to depend on the Spirit who guides us and convicts us and encourages us and counsels us toward all truth. We say, God, help me depend on and live from the power of the Holy Spirit. So the second thing, if you're taking notes, for some, this is going to sound easier than it is. For some, it's going to sound more difficult than it actually is. The second thing in overcoming temptation is to follow the Spirit's guidance. Or we could say the Spirit's prompting, the Spirit's nudging. Okay? So we're going to depend on the Spirit's power, and then we're going to follow the Spirit's guidance. So Galatians 5, starting in verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. We've established what the flesh is, right? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we, what do? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Interesting word usage there. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So let's go back to our first verse. If we walk by the Spirit, we'll not gratify the desires of the flesh, right? And now we're saying, since we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. What does this mean? I'll explain it this way. My wife, Marta, and I, we like to go on walks. And right now it's been winter, it's been cold, so we don't do that often. When we first got together, we would go on walks all the time. And when we would walk, we would hold hands. You know, you're holding hands and your hands are swinging, and it's just this fun thing, right? And I always, you know, holding hands and going on a walk, I always liked the idea of it. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy that, but it actually takes a lot of work because I'll overthink the process. Like when you're walking in a normal rhythm, your limbs are going in opposite directions, right? So your hands are going like this, your arms are going like this, and your legs are going in an opposite direction. When you hold hands with another person, it's like I'm no longer responsible for only my own rhythm, but I'm also responsible for her rhythm. And where it would get awkward is I'm walking in my rhythm, and I've kind of disrupted her rhythm, and I've forced her into not alternating like this. But I look over, and she's walking like this, and I'm like, this is weird. And a lot of us guys, we don't ever notice that, but does that ever happen to any of you? You're walking and like I'm the weird one, right? So you probably never thought of this. I'm just like hyper aware of weird things, I guess. But it's just kind of funny. I'll overthink it. And honestly, it'd be awkward because we'd walk for a while and it'd be normal and natural, and we'd be having these great conversations, and then if we haven't walked together in a while, it would be less natural because one of us would always end up out of step, right? And so we'd be walking, and I'm spending less time thinking about our romantic conversation that we're having, and all my thought and focus would go towards not messing up the rhythm that we're walking in, and all I know is eventually you figure out the rhythm, right? And then we're walking in step with each other. How did we get there? We had to be close to each other, which I like, by the way, physical proximity. It's great. It's a great thing, right? We had to spend time doing this and pay close attention to each other and follow each other. Some of you are like, you're thinking way too hard about walking hand in hand with another person. But follow me, okay? It makes sense. Paul tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That if you walk in step with the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And over time, we actually recognize that He's prompting us. We recognize we're walking in step with us, and He's the one who's guiding us. The more we mature, the more we recognize He's telling us to go this way. He's leading us to go that way. He's telling us to get our mind off of that thing, and He's telling us to divert our direction and our thought towards these things that are good, and He's leading us to help that person, and He's telling us to pray for this thing, and He's literally keeping in step with us. And so when you're so close to the Spirit of God, here's what happens. We become a lot less likely to gratify our sinful desire. Why? Because we're so full of what actually matters that we're not as tempted by the emptiness of what does not matter. We're so full of the presence of God. Here's one way to get there, a simple exercise. Just keep track and document. Every time you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you, write it down. Write it down. I promise you, you will start to begin to take notice of the Spirit's activity in your life and God's direction in your life. We say, you know what? I haven't heard from God in such a long time. If we start to write down every time we think He might be nudging us, we would be surprised just how often he gives us opportunities to listen to him and make a decision. So in your notes, just put it that this way. Every time you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you, write it down. And here's what happens. Just take note. I don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe on your phone, a piece of paper, whatever. Maybe you email yourself. Just take note. If you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something, stop what you're doing and take note of it. You're like, I'm driving in my car. Pull over to the side of the road and take note. Don't like text it while you're driving. That's going to be counterproductive. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to be driving to work. You're going to be listening to your Pandora station or Christian radio or whatever it is. You're going to hear a song. You're going to be like, oh, that just spoke to me. Guess what? Really good chance that was God prompting you. You're going to be reading in your Bible, which if you're not doing that, start there. And there's going to be a verse that maybe you've read this verse dozens, if not hundreds of times before, but this time something stuck out at you. Write that down. Good chance God was using that verse to speak to you. You're going to be going to work, and there's that annoying person. You have to deal with them again. You just don't want to deal with that person, and they're talking to you. You just want to walk by. You think, you know what? I should stop and listen to that person. That's probably a really good chance that the Holy Spirit is nudging in that direction. If nothing works for you, just do this sometime. Just say, you know what, God? I'm going to take 7 minutes right now. It doesn't have to be 7 minutes. I just thought it was seven, just like a good spiritual number. I'm going to take 7 minutes, and I'm just gonna pray for people. And God, would you just give me the names of people to pray for right now? I don't even need to know what they're going through, but just God, I'm going to give you 7 minutes, and you start intentionally praying like that, and it's all of a sudden it's like boom, 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 like name rockets are just like being shot from heaven to your head, and suddenly you're praying for people, and 7 minutes just goes by like that. And then you're walking in step with the Spirit, and you're walking by the Spirit, living through his power. And when we're doing that, it's less tempting to gratify the sinful desires of the flesh. But here's the good news. Paul tells us, you have no obligation. You have no obligation to give in to the temptation. You have no obligation to sin. You have no duty. You have no duty to obey the desires of this world. You have no necessity in life to stay addicted to that thing. You have no obligation to continue eating to medicate yourself, because there's a power that dwells within you that is greater than the power that we have on our own. You have no obligation to continue to worry about what's going on in our world right now, whatever it is. When the Prince of Peace can come into our lives and renew your mind and give you a peace that goes far beyond your human ability to comprehend and understand. You have no duty, no need, no contract, no prior commitment at all to do what the sinful natures of life urge you to do. Why? Because our God is faithful and he will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, what is our God going to do? He's going to provide a way out. He's going to give you an opportunity to experience freedom. Let's go to him. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are, for how you work. God, I thank you, Lord, that you let us out, not just not thinking about bad things, and don't think about bad thoughts, and don't do bad stuff, but God, you give us the ability to think good, that Holy Spirit, you would lead us, that if we walk according to the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we know that your word tells us we will not gratify the desires of the flesh, and so therefore we'll depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we acknowledge that we are powerless over whatever that blank needs to be filled with, and we need the Holy Spirit to make us whole and well so we can follow your prompting all the days of our life. Documenting, Lord, at the end of the day, looking at the times that you've led us, looking at the times in our lives, in our days that you've prompted us, and oh, wow, God, you are good. So God, help us to take those moments and pay even closer attention, keeping in step with you, that sin will not hold its grip on us. And so, Lord, I know that there are things that combat this in our lives, Lord. We just pray against it. We pray against the workings of the enemy. Lord, we declare, we know, we acknowledge that your power is so much stronger than anything the enemy throws at us. And so, God, we declare your victory over our temptations, over our struggles today. We declare your victory over what's going on in our world right now that's got so many people going crazy. And so, God, we pray that you would do what only you do. God, that you would give reminders to your people today. Lord, that today there'd be a drastic difference in the way this whole outlook looks. That there'd be a drastic difference in our own lives, God, as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, God, I pray that you would direct our steps. Help us to put this stuff in practice. Knowing it's you we're living for, it's you we're living through, and it's your power we're living through. Thank you. It's your name. God's people said, amen.